I want to start by saying this morning that God has chosen to manifest Himself today through His local church. The church is the means by which God has chosen to reveal Himself to the world today. The entire New Testament, when you study the Bible, you realize that the entire New Testament is completely dedicated to the founding of the church, the function of the church, as well as the future of the church. I'm going to have you do something very strange this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles to the table of contents, all right? Turning your Bibles to the table of contents, all right? I want you to see here for just a moment there in your Bibles the breakdown of the New Testament, how that is completely given for the founding of the church, the function of the church, and the future of the church. Now, if you find yourself there in the table of contents, I want you to find the New Testament. For we see the first five books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, those first five books focus on the founding of the church. We have the four Gospels by which it chronologically gives us the life of Jesus Christ, how He came and died and resurrected again so that He could birth and launch the church. And then in the book of Acts, we see that church taking form. It's dedicated to the founding of the church. Then when you get to the book of Romans, all the way down to the epistle of Jude, you see in each one of those books is dedicated to learning the function of the church. And we realize that most of those books, from Romans all the way down to Jude, are actual local churches. There's a few here that have been addressed to people groups, a couple addressed to pastors, but predominantly this portion of the New Testament is given to actual local churches. It would be like God saying, I say to the church at Laurel, or I say to the church at Charlotte. He's teaching us in these books the function of the church. But then there's one final book in the New Testament. It's the book of Revelation. While there are some chapters in Revelation that deal with the function of the church, predominantly the book of Revelation is dedicated to the future of the church. The founding of the church, the function of the church, the future of the church. The point I'm trying to make you this morning is that the New Testament is all about Christ and His church. That's what the New Testament is about. It's about the founding of the church, the function of the church, and the future of the church. We would err to think that the church doesn't matter, that the church is not important, that why is it a big deal if I belong to a church or not? That type of thinking would be erroneous when the entire New Testament is given to the founding function and future of the church. So in our passage of Scripture today, the Holy Spirit illustrates the church as a unique thing. It illustrates it as a human body. Just as our human bodies made up of many parts exist together to fulfill its perfect function, so is the church a body. He says the church is a body made up of many members existing together to fulfill its perfect function. I want you to notice a phrase in verse number 12 that speaks to this. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, he's talking about your physical body, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. He says every member of your body, every part of your body makes up the whole, the one body. And notice the last phrase of verse 12. So also is Christ. So also is Christ. He said just like your physical body is made up of many members that work together to carry out its perfect function, he said, so is the body of Christ. Now think about it like this. In order to accomplish his work on earth, Jesus had a body made of flesh and blood. But in order to accomplish his work today, he has a body called the church. And that body called the church is made up of living human beings. I want you to illustrate it like this. Understand it. that this local church, nowhere in this passage is it talking about universally the church. He's talking about local churches. I'm talking about this local church, Laurel Baptist Church, listen to me, is the body of Christ. This local church. We're the feet, the arms, the hands. We are the body of Jesus Christ. That's the point that Paul is trying to drive home. He wants the Corinthian people, the Holy Spirit wants us today to understand this metaphor. That just as we have human bodies, Christ also has a body. And that body happens to be you. And that body happens to be me. So in light of this, I want us to look at three very important practical truths about God's will for every believer regarding the body of Christ. And I'm going to give these to you in a very practical manner as we break down the verses before us. Here's the first one I want you to understand. The first practical truth is this. Number one, commit to membership in a local church. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Commit to membership in a local church. Now listen to me this morning. It is impossible to speak about the church apart from Christ. That's where it all begins. It begins with Christ and believing in Him as the Son of God. Look at verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. He's saying that our belief in Christ leads us to belonging to His church. That's the first step. It begins with Christ. Just regardless to be a member of a church and not put faith in Jesus Christ, you're just wasting your time. It means nothing to be baptized and not put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing mystical or special about that. No, the church begins with Christ. Heaven, eternity, salvation, forgiveness of sins has little to do with the church. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus Christ. I need to believe in Jesus Christ, believing Him as the Son of God. But it is not God's will for your life to end with just believing in Him. For the Scripture says not only should I believe in Christ, but I should take the next step in belonging to His body. Belonging to His church. That's the basics of the Christian life. Believe and belong. Believe and belong. It's basic. What is God's will for me as a believer? To believe and belong. To believe and belong. And until we obey the Lord with the first steps, we will be hard-pressed to know the full joy and the journey of God's perfect will for our lives. And some of you today may be struggling with a lot of different areas. There's an absence of joy. There's struggles on the journey. And maybe we need to revert back to the first steps. Are you believing and do you belong? Do you belong? Are you a part of the membership of the body of Jesus Christ? I became a follower of Christ at a very young age. I was 5 years old when I came to faith in Jesus. I'll never forget that day. Hell was never preached so hot that day as my dad preached it. I didn't know very much about the Bible. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. So I came forward and got saved. I believed. Shortly thereafter, after confessing my faith in Jesus, I followed Him in believer's baptism. I had to wait a little while to do that because right after I got saved, it's another story within itself, I thought I was Patrick Swayze. And I jumped off of a tree and did a little twisty, dancing move in the air and broke my leg. The doctor thought my parents had abused me. No, I just thought I was dirty dancing as a 5-year-old. It's a long story. We don't have time to get into it anytime, all right? So I had to wait a little while before I could get baptized because I had a cast all the way up to my thigh, all the way down. But after the cast was removed and everything was cleaned up, I followed the Lord in baptism. And after that, I became a member, not just an attender. I became a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning that it is with joy that I say to you that not only am I a Christian, it's with joy that I say to you that I am a member of a biblical church. That's a joy to be a part of a church. It's what God's will is for my life. And that's the metaphor of chapter 12. That's what God wants you to understand. It's not some pastor trying to recruit membership numbers. This is God saying, I want you to belong to my body. I want you to be a part of my church. That's the metaphor. The local churches are the body of Christ. They've been formed by God's Spirit, as verse 13 says, to function in unity and purpose. It is God's will. Listen, if you miss anything else, don't miss this. It is God's will for you to believe and belong. It's God's will for you to believe and belong. I'm faced often with the question, why is it that people don't prioritize church membership? Why isn't it important to them? Let me just, it's not in your notes, but maybe just a couple things you want to write down here. Here's three reasons why, in my experience, that I believe people are cautious about church membership. One is a lack of commitment. I don't think that's the case with everybody, but some people, just a lack of commitment. And live in a generation today where commitment is a struggle for all kinds of people. We go to the cell phone store. They say, well, we'll give you the cell phone for one penny if you sign this 50-year contract. I want to commit to 50 years with this stinky cell phone service. And so we try to do whatever we can not to get it. My wife's great at this. She calls the cable company like every 6 months and says, all right, unless you can give me a better deal, I'm out of here. We're afraid of commitment on many levels. That's why today, more than ever, many people are avoiding marriage. They just live together because they're afraid of commitment. And this happens in the church world. There's a fear of commitment. Some people, it's not as much commitment as it is just they don't want to be tied down to one church. They change churches like they change grocery stores. Whoever has the best sale this week. Then we go to Food Lion for a while, but as soon as they stop selling my favorite cereal, O's, I'm not going back to Food Lion anymore. I'm going to Harris Teeter, and as long as Harris Teeter gives me O's, then I'm happy. But the moment they stop selling O's, then forget them. I'm going to go find a Bilo to see if they give it. And we treat church like that. I'm happy as long as the preacher makes me happy, as long as the programs make me happy, as long as the people make me happy. But the moment they start giving me what I want, we'll just go find us a different church. We change churches like we do grocery stores. There's a lack of commitment. Now, there's another reason. There's a lack of accountability. People just don't want to be accountable. They know if they attend the church or join the church, they have this fear that they're going to be checked up on and wondered where they're at. And it's amazing how people come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't want to join because I don't want you calling me every week asking me where I'm at. What? Who thinks I have time for that? I call you every week and ask you where you're at. I ain't seen you in several months. I'm going to ask you where you're at. Listen, God has designed the church because we need each other. I don't like to often admit this, but I'm a needy person. And so are you. Because God has designed you and I to be needy. And so what is He doing? He has given us the church. He's given us a church to meet that need in our hearts. And so some people don't want to join a church, but not just because of commitment, accountability. They don't want to be held accountable. But yet God has designed you to be held accountable. He's designed you to have a church because you need each other. But then for some people, honestly, it's just genuinely, it's not commitment, it's not accountability. And thirdly, it's just a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. They don't realize chapters like 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not that they don't want to commit. It's not that they change churches all the time. There are some people who have attended the same church for years and never joined the membership. It's not commitment. It's not accountability. They just don't understand. They've never been taught from the Word of God how important that it is, not only that they believe, but that they belong. Because it's in the local church that God has designed for us to function. And I want to say to you as a heart of a pastor this morning is don't let lack of understanding or lack of accountability or lack of commitment keep you from experiencing the next step of joy in this journey called the Christian life. Believe in Christ and belong to a church. Of course, I want you to belong to this one, but I'm not advocating you to belong to this one just because you need to join one. I'm saying find a church and join it. Be a part of it. Be the body of Christ. Be the body of Christ. But I think it's important that when we talk about the commitment of church membership in our lives, that we need to understand what type of church God wants us to join. I've actually given you some things in your notes that I think would be important for you to ponder. And so I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. The verses are not written for you in your notes, but if you'll turn back just a couple of books there in the New Testament, I want you to see something in Acts chapter 2 that I think will be a great help to you. And as you know, we've had many in our church family more than ever. It's unprecedented, really, for Laurel Baptist Church to have this many people move away. We've never had this before. I'm struggling with it. I just got news of somebody else going to be moving this morning. I mean, it's just, this is the first time in the history of our church we've had this many people just leave. It's not because they're mad. It's just jobs this way, jobs that way, family needs out of town. And so it's just constant. And so in each one of these situations, I'll have questions like this. Pastor, when I go to the city, what type of church should I join? What type of church should I belong to? Maybe that's your story this morning. Maybe you're here as a guest, or maybe you're attending today and you're trying to figure out what type of church should I be a part of. And I just want to say that it's important that we do not rely on denominational affiliation alone. Neither should we align on certain fellowships alone to dictate what church we should be a part of. I think when it comes to determining what type of church you and I should belong to and join in membership, we should look biblically. What does the Bible say the type of church is that I should be a part of? And that's what I want us to do. Let's look at the very first church, the church that Jesus founded in Acts chapter 2. And I want to give you just several things this morning, and they're there with you in your notes already. Here's some things to ponder when it comes to determining what type of church I need to belong to. Here's the first thing. Number one, join a church that is Bible-centered and doctrinally sound. Join a church that is Bible-centered and doctrinally sound. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word, they were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. The emphasis of these verses was that this church was a Bible-centered church that was doctrinally sound. And so when it comes to looking for the church that I ought to join, I need to be asking questions like this. Does this church believe the Bible? Do they believe the doctrines of God's Word? How do they preach His Word? And after all, verse 41 says, this church gladly received His word. Well, how was it delivered? Was it motivated by opinions and traditions and psychology and stories? Or was it saturated by His word? Is it saturated by Scripture? Are people invited to be saved and baptized on a regular basis? Is the church strong on the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do they believe about communion? For after all, verse 42 says they broke bread. They participated in the Lord's Supper. Do they believe it's a means of salvation? Or do they believe it's a response to worshiping God? Is this church doctrinally sound? Are they centered on the Bible? That's the first question you ought to ask. Because if that church is not centered on the Bible nor doctrinally sound, then leave and go find another church. Join a church that's Bible-centered and doctrinally sound. Number two, join a church that is passionate about prayer. Join a church that is passionate about prayer. Look at verse 42. At the end of it, He's telling them to continue in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. But look at the last part. Continue in prayers. Continue in prayers. This church was known for being a praying church. A praying church. So when I'm looking for a church to be a part of, I need to be observant. Does it resemble a house of prayer? Are there avenues for me as a member to share my burdens and pray for one another's needs? Let me say something to you very carefully that God has been teaching me here recently, and that is this. Be careful about churches that call themselves churches but don't pray. I don't care how many times they put Baptist on the side of it. Makes no difference to me how many adjectives describe how fundamentally conservative they are. You be careful about a church that calls themselves a church, but doesn't pray. I need to belong to a church that is passionate about prayer. Number three, join a church that honors Christ. Look at verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That word fear means reverence, honoring of God. So what do I need to do? I need to be asking the question, is there a reverence of Christ in this place? Is there a fear of God in this congregation? Do they honor preferences over God? Do they honor people over God? Or is this church Christ honoring? Is it about reverencing God, honoring Him, and glorifying His name? My church doesn't honor Christ. It's not a church that I can benefit by being a part of. Here's the next one. Join a church that's devoted to unity and fellowship. Join a church that's devoted to unity and fellowship. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together. They had all things common. I'm looking at a church, whether or not I should be a member of it, I need to ask the question, is the church together? Are they unified? Hey, are they welcoming of all people? All colors, all nationalities, all backgrounds. I wouldn't go to a church that was not welcoming of all people. A one-race church. It's not biblical. Unity of all nations, unity of all backgrounds, unity of all colors. Is it apparent that they love each other? Well, you can tell that. You can walk into church and tell whether or not they love each other. Do they enjoy being together? Hey, he says, hey, be a part of a church that's devoted to unity and fellowship. Look at the next one. Join a church that's generous in their giving. Look at verse 45. This church, they sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had need. And so I need to ask the question, do they have a heart to help others? Do they support the ministry of the church well? Do they take care of the pastor, the staff, and those who work hard in it? Do they talk about supporting missionaries and church planting? And are they generous and sacrificial when they give? I need to be a part of a church that's generous in their giving, not stingy with their finances. The next one, join a church that meets often for worship. And by the way, is authentic when they do. I need to be a part of a church that meets often for worship and is authentic when they do. Look at this in verse 46. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, this church, this early church, the first church, they came together every day. Every day they met together for worship and fellowship. Every day they studied the Bible. I'm not suggesting to you that we change our calendar where we meet every day for worship service, but I believe the principle is very clear that we need to belong to a church that meets more and more, not less and less. I'm looking for a church, but I want to belong to the body of Christ. I need to belong to the body that is excited about gathering together for worship. That's excited about hearing more teaching and more preaching, not less and less. And then look at their worship. This church is praising God. They're worshiping with singleness of heart. That means sincerity, genuineness, authenticity. I want to be a part of a church that is more yielded to the Spirit than they are to traditions and preferences. I want to belong to a church that has the mentality, hey, we've never done it this way before. I want to belong to a church that says, however the Spirit leads, we will go. That's this church. You can continue on. Join a church. Next one. Join a church that has a godly testimony in the community. Look at verse 47 again. Not only were they found praising God, but they had favor with all the people. They had a good testimony, a good reputation. Listen, it wasn't a perfect church. And you'll never find a perfect church. So stop looking for a perfect church. That's why some of you have yet to join. You're looking for a perfect church. We'll never be it. No one will ever be it. And as soon as you find one and join it, they will cease to be a perfect church. I'm not talking about perfection. We're talking about people who honestly strive to be the best they can be for God. I mean, the preaching produces godliness, not ungodliness. There's integrity among those who lead it. There is character in their function and administration and operation. Hey, I need to belong to a church that has a good testimony in the city and a good testimony among the people who attend and worship there. Then look at the last one. I think it's as important as any of them. I need to join a church whose growth is by the blessing of God, not the ingenuity of man. Huh? Look at what he says in verse 47, and the Lord added, not the pastor. The pastor didn't add, the deacons didn't add, staff didn't add, church family didn't add. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Who builds the church? God builds the church. When I'm looking to belong to a church, I need to ask the question, is this church focused on being obedient to God's word, or are they focused on reinventing the church? Is this church focused on honoring the power of God in their lives, or do they think that church is contingent upon their strengths and abilities? And I think it's wise that we be a part of a church that is built by the ingenuity of man, because one day that church will crumble. But a church that is built by the blessing of God will stand the test of time. And so, I hope nobody else other than a couple of you who are getting ready to move or looking to join a new church. But if the present situation presents itself, I think it's understandable that we need to follow the model of the first church. Maybe you're here this morning, you've yet to join in membership here at Laurel. I hope that you see these things true about the Laurel Baptist Church. We're not a perfect church, but we want to be like the first church. And that's the type of church God wants us to belong to. And I would say to you, that's not only the type of church God wants us to belong to, it's the type of church He wants us to continue in. Why stop going to that kind of church? Why? If it's the church that God is honoring, if it's the church that God is blessing, if it's the church that is His body, why would we not continue in that type of church? Don't miss what is often one of the most overlooked parts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that is, my Christian life is not only about believing. My Christian life is about belonging. I need to belong to the body. I need to voluntarily join myself in membership to the body of Christ. And I want to be kind this morning. I'm really trying to help some of you. I want to help you. I'm thankful that I grew up in a home that emphasized church membership. I'm glad I grew up in a church that emphasized church membership. Because I don't know what I'd do without the church. I don't know what my wife and I would have done without the multiple miscarriages that we went through early on in our marriage. Without this church, it's comfort and encouragement. I'm glad I could share that burden. I was glad they were able to carry it with me. I don't know what I'd do without this church. I don't know what I'd do without those moments. I just got to get out of the house and be around godly fellowship and godly men. I don't know what I'd do without the times that I know that you're praying for me and caring for me and we're working together. I'm glad that church membership was emphasized in my life, because you're missing out when you don't belong to the body of Christ. Some Christians are content living in halfway houses. Happy to be free from the imprisonment of sin, but not yet willing to commit to a community of believers. God doesn't want you and I to live in spiritual halfway houses. He wants us to go all the way. Believe and belong. Commit to membership in a local church, number two. After we commit to membership in a local church, He's teaching us in this passage that, number two, we need to determine to be a healthy member of the church. Determine to be a healthy member of the church. Now, that's the primary focus of verses 15 through 26. He says, since we are in the body of Christ, we members are to strive to be healthy members. Now, we live in a human body. We want our body parts, our members of this body, to be healthy. So we should strive for the spiritual body of Christ to be healthy as well. Now, all of us know what it's like to experience body aches, right? How many of you have a place in your body that is aching this morning? Would you raise your hand? I'm raising mine. I have a couple places that are reoccurring body aches. And I know some of you think, oh, man, you're 33 years old. He's already talking about it. It's there. It's there. I have a bad back. I went to a chiropractor back in 2006, and he told me I had the back of a 55-year-old. And I think it was a lot attributed to the much traveling I did as an evangelist, flying on airplanes every week, driving back and forth to California, spent a lot of time in the office work. So I was recommending, I don't know if he told me that because he wanted to get me a daily chiropractor fee or what, but he said I had a back. And I feel that at times. There are some things I've moved the wrong way, my back hurts, staff laughs at me, I'll come in and I'll be walking like this and they know I've done something to my back. I have a bad neck problem. I have this weird thing. I could sleep the slightest difference than what I normally sleep, and I'll have what my mama called a crook in my neck. And it'll be like that for weeks. Weeks. Yesterday, I decided to go outside. After all, Keegan and I are living in a house full of women. And Keegan and I just needed to get out of the house. And we went in the backyard, jumped on the trampoline, and he wanted to swing. And so I went to the swing set in the backyard, and I placed him in his swing. And I did what I always do. I get in the swing right next to him so that I could push him, and I'll swing with him, and we'll sing, and we'll talk. And I got in that swing, and I started rearing back. And as soon as I let go, that swing cut in half. The seat cut in half. The seat. Not the chain. The seat cut in half. In half. And so on my incline out, as soon as it cut in half, I went, boom, right there on the ground. Keegan's crying. Kate's upset. I broke her swing. And I'm sitting there in pain. My bottom is aching. It's hurting this morning. We all know what it's like to have body aches. Body aches can be debilitating to our health. And I want to caution you this morning to be careful about spiritual body aches. Paul gives us mindsets that can be dreadful to the spiritual health of the body of Christ as it relates to our gifts, role, and place. And I want to mention four of them to you that he mentions. Not that this is an exhaustive list, but it's the four he happens to mention here of what we call spiritual body aches. Number one, insecurity can be an ache to the body. Insecurity can be an ache to the body. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. And the practical application of these verses is that there are some in the body of Christ who think that the church doesn't need them. He's saying here, like the foot says to the hand, I'm not needed. Like the ear says to the eye, I'm not needed. There are some people who attend the church that says, hey, I'm not needed. They don't need me. I have nothing to offer them. They're insecure because they're a foot, not the hand. They're insecure because they're an ear and not the eye. And I'm telling you, if you are wrapped up in inferiority and insecurity, it can be a spiritual body ache to your life. And furthermore, it can hurt the whole body of Christ because you're not embracing what God made you to be and how He designed you to function within the body. Could you imagine if all of us were aching of insecurity this morning? Then none of us would sing in the choir. None of us would teach. None of us would play the piano. None of us would lead the singing. This would be a dreadful church to be a part of. We're not talking about superiority. We're talking about inferiority. We're talking about insecurity, about the way God made us, the gifts that He has given us. I want to give you something to think about. You ever thought about insecurity may actually be a form of pride? Sure. Insecurity can, it's really not that humble at all. Insecurity develops because of self-focus. And in the church world, it calls into question God's divine wisdom and God's divine power. Well, I would do this, but I wasn't made this way. Okay. So you would get involved and you would serve and you would get rid of this ache, but you're mad at God because God designed you the way that you are. I struggle with insecurity. Can I admit that to you? There's not a week that goes by, there's not a Sunday or Wednesday that goes by, that I don't ask my wife, what do you think today? Because there's days that go by, I don't hear nothing. And I want to play this little pity party. I must not have preached it well. The prayer service must not have been meaningful. I must not have liked this activity. I want to put it on me. Well, if people would just encourage me, if people would just say we need you, if people would just say you're wanted. Well, isn't that pride? Sure it is. Sure it is. But it's easy to crawl into our little corner and say, because I don't have that gift, I must not be needed. I'm just going to sit over here. Don't worry about joining the church. I'll let everybody else do the job. That's not how God designed you. We need you. We need you. You're as vitally a part of the body as my foot is today. You're as vitally a part of the body as my mouth is. I need it. I need to recognize what God has given me. I need to engage it into the body of Christ. It's interesting how he goes on to explain it. He uses that monster analogy in verse 17. Could you imagine if the whole body were an eye? We'd look like a bunch of monsters if we all had the same skills and the same groups. Could you imagine? Insecurity is a spiritual body ache. Some of us need to go back and learn that little song we learned as kids. And if I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, that for giving me wings. There you go. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And it goes on and on. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Who cares if we don't have the same gifts? Who cares if you don't have the same role and function as another place? Who cares if you feel timid? Just thank God that He made you, you, and engage it into the body of Christ. You're hurting us and you're missing out by not using your role as a member of the body. Insecurity. On the other side of that, imbalance can be an ache to the body. Imbalance. Look at verse number 19. And if they were all one member, what would be of the body? He says, on the one hand, there are those who feel they are not needed. On the other hand, there are those who feel they have to do everything. And that's just a dangerous place to be in. He said, over here, you got these people behind the corner. They're not needed. Their gift doesn't feel that qualified. Over here, doesn't matter what their gifts are. They want to be in the limelight, wherever the limelight is. They want to serve wherever they can serve. Doesn't matter if they never get preaching. Never matter if they never pray. Doesn't matter whatever they do. They just want to go, go, go. They got to do everything in balance. He says, could you imagine? Could you imagine if the entire body was just made up of one member? He says, it's not about one member. It's not about one person, one family. He says in verse 20, it's about many members that make up the one body. We've been working through this as a staff here recently. It concerns me when we have people serving in a multiplicity of roles. I don't think that's healthy for you, for me, or for us. Find one place and serve in that one place. I don't need you in 10 different places. It's not good for you. In a recent staff meeting, we said, listen, it doesn't matter if they serve in a one or a children's church or choir or usher, whatever. We need to make sure that we're not overlapping ourselves, because an imbalance in the body can create just as much problem as insecurity in the body. One person can't do it all. That's not how God designed it to be. And the Lord has taught me that. I'm thankful that the Lord is teaching in my life to say to our wonderful staff and our wonderful leadership, I can't visit every home. I can't go to every hospital. I can't do this and that. There used to be a day in this church, and you know it, I would freak out whether or not the lines and the vacuum cleaner and the carpet were straight or not. And if it went straight or not, I'd come back and redo it. That used to be me. imbalance. And Jared came to me recently. He came and asked me a question. I said, I really don't care. And he stopped. And he's like, are you the same guy I've been working for the last 6 years? Honestly, I think God has helped me with that. God, I've asked the Lord to help me with that. Because it's wrong. It's wrong to have an imbalance in our lives. I've got to hurry. Number three, isolation can be an ache to the body. Isolation can be an ache to the body. Look what he says in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. He's saying it's not wise for one member of the body to say to another member of the body, I don't need you. I can get along just fine without you. And this could go both ways. There's this superiority complex that says, oh, well, we don't need that ministry. We don't need that individual. We don't need that gift. He says that's wrong. He says on the other side of it, he says, here's this church member that doesn't do anything. They're not involved in the fellowship. They don't engage in activity. They don't come to worship. They neglect the encouraging phone calls and letters. I mean, they're just isolated. And he says to that member who says to the other members, I don't need you. I can get along in my life fine without your prayer, without your encouragement, without your fellowship, I don't need you. He says that is just as much an ache to the body. Because we do need each other. And what Laurel Baptist Church, the members that make up this body, need to say is no to isolation and yes to involvement. Yes to involvement. No to isolation. Because isolation can be an ache to the body. Look at this last one. Insensitivity can be an ache to the body. Look at what he says, the last part of verse 25. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And I read that this week and I thought, man, that's Laurel right there. That's Laurel Baptist. I'm so grateful for the care of our church that has for one another. Because verse 26 says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. If one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. He's saying every Christian is important to every Christian. You listen to me? Every Christian is important to every Christian. We are made in the body of Christ to be interdependent. We're to share our hurts. We're to share our pains. We're to share our joys. It's one of the vital reasons why it's important to be a part of the church. And the warning here is that we will ache spiritually as the body of Christ when we are insensitive to the other members of the body that are hurting. I mean, let's just think logically. It's really sad. It's really sad that the Corinthian church had gotten so chaotic that Paul had to dumb down the message just for them to get it. Because he's saying, look, if you have a broken hand, you're not going to be insensitive to that hand and use it in ways that are going to add more pain and hurt. You're going to be sensitive to it. And take care of it and protect it and be careful what other members of the body do to it. Because it's hurting. It's in pain. He says the same way. That's how we need to respond in sensitivity to one another. There's another member of our body hurting, we hurt. There's another member of our body that's rejoicing, we rejoice. Because when we are insensitive to one another, it brings about an ache to the body. I think what he's teaching us here is that to be a healthy spiritual member of the body is to be a caring, sensitive member. If there is a deficiency in the body, it's because of unhealthiness in the members. We recognize that physically, and now we understand that spiritually. What God is wanting us to do is determine to be a healthy church. And He wants us to be a healthy church when we determine to be healthy members of the church. Recognize that I'm needed. Hey, recognize that you're needed. You're needed. Don't isolate yourself from the church. I've done my part. I believe. I belong. Yeah, I'll just take care of it. I'll just, hang out over here. Don't do that. You're needed. Don't isolate yourself. I'd be like Jared, as gifted as he is and talented with the gift to lead us in worship and come to me and say, you know what? I'm happy just to let somebody else do that. Don't do that.
You're needed. We're better because you're here. Don't isolate yourself. Don't do that. Be sensitive to others. Be open to their needs. Here's a third one, and I'm just really going to mention this briefly. I'm already out of time. Number three, aim to be a faithful member of the church. So here's the three things he's teaching us about the body. Number one, commit to local church membership. Believe and belong. Determine to be a healthy church member. Don't allow insensitivity, insecurity, imbalance, all these things, isolation. Don't let them create spiritual body aches in your life and in our church. And then number three, aim to be a faithful member. And this is where we close. Because it's in these verses we understand the basics of faithfulness. And he tells us three things we need to be faithful in. Number one, be faithful in unity. Be faithful in unity. Look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Have unity. You're a member of the body. Be faithful to play your God-given part. Strive for unity in the body. And unity has so much more to do with other areas of the Christian life besides just getting along. We think unity is about just being nice to each other and not gossiping about one another. Then we've missed unity. Unity is about working together. It's about caring for one another. It's about playing our God-given role. That's what unity is. Be faithful in unity. Number two, be faithful in diversity. Be faithful in diversity. For in verses 28 through 30, he tells us again that don't get caught up in all the lists, but he's just helping us illustrate all the different ways that God has given each member different roles. He says some are apostles. Those are not relevant today, but some in the church there were. Prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, so on and so forth. And he says in verse 29 and 30, do all have the same thing? No, they don't. He's emphasizing diversity among the church. Diversity. Some sing, some teach, some greet, some assist in ministry, some give, some help, some pray. He says we have a diversity of ministry and we need to employ those diversities. Why is it that we have this stigma that diversity is an obstacle? Diversity is not an obstacle to overcome. It's an opportunity to do more. I'm glad when God sends someone to our church that's different. It's not an obstacle. That's an opportunity to engage in ministry where we've never been able to engage before. That's an opportunity to do something we've never been able to do before. Why? Because God doesn't give the same gifts to everybody. It's diversity. We need to be faithful in our diversities, faithful in our unities. And the last one, be faithful in maturity. Be faithful in maturity. Notice what he says in verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. The best I understand this is what I believe the verse is saying here. Desire to give your best to the gifts God has given you. Earnestly. Do it earnestly. The gifts God has given you, whatever they may be, desire to give your best to it. Give your best to it. But after saying all of that, he goes on to say in verse 31, but know that even that at our best, there is something greater than our spiritual gifts. Look right here. He's saying you can give your best to be the best teacher, the best preacher, the best singer, the best greeter, the best usher, whatever. He said you ought to give your best to it. But there's something greater than your best. That's what he means when he says, I show unto you a more excellent way. What is that? Well, we don't have time this morning. It's in chapter 13. We'll get to chapter 13 next week. But suffice it to say this morning that God would have us mature as members of His body so that we can strive for faithfulness to Him. We're the body of Christ. And I'm convinced that the reason why the world thinks so little of God, look right here, it's because Christians think so little of this church. Don't think so little of this place. Don't think so little of any place. God wants me to believe and He wants me to belong, so commit in church membership. God wants me to be a healthy member, so put away the insecurities and the insensitivities, the isolation. Say no to that. Yes to involvement. Be healthy. and be faithful. Be faithful. Love the unity that God has given us. Love the diversity that He spreads out. Strive to be mature, giving your best to God, but recognizing that there is something greater than my gift. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. Lord, I'm thankful that you laid down your body for me when you were here, but I really, you know, not too interested in being a part of your body today. We need to really think through the importance of believers belonging to the body of Christ.